Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Rebecca Katz, author of The Cancer Fighting Kitchen and her latest work, The Healthy Mind Cookbook. Rebecca, tell me a little bit about antioxidant foods and when you should eat them when you're going through cancer treatment.
You should always eat them. There used to be just kind of a myth that you shouldn't eat antioxidant-rich foods because the body needs to create free radicals to kill cancer cells. That's when doctors were like saying, only eat white foods. But that's not true. So antioxidant-rich foods are things that you see every day. They're colorful foods. They are things like dark leafy greens and berries and just the cornucopia of color that you see in the produce aisle. And the reason why you want to eat antioxidant-rich foods is because all of those plants have cancer-fighting chemicals in them. Those good chemicals are passed on to us, you know, when we eat them. So something like mint, for example, has a phytochemical in it called luteolin, which actually is incredibly powerful and creates a very bad environment for cancer cells to grow. In fact, it creates what's called cell apoptosis, meaning cell suicide. So now we know that plants and foods that are colorful and high in antioxidants actually have a tremendous amount of cancer-fighting properties and are the things that are going to create an environment that is going to be inhospitable for cancer cells to grow.
Well, it seems it's also important to consider eating organic foods as well when you can, because organic vegetables, they've kind of had to fend for themselves a little bit and maybe are a little more enriched with those nutrients.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. They do have to fight harder and they are more nutrient dense. And we're starting to see actual studies that are showing that. If people, though, are in a position where they can't always find organic, it's good to go to the Environmental Working Group, EWG.org, and look at what's called the Clean 15 and the Dirty Dozen. So that way, you can look at what you absolutely really need to be eating organically because of the pesticide residue and what foods are not heavily sprayed or don't have that residue.
You know, some of the other information that I found in your book was about anti-inflammatory foods. How does that work into the treatment plan?
Well, when you are going through, it could be cancer, heart disease, you know, depression, gut problems, you name it, are all associated with inflammation in the body, systemic inflammation. And the idea is that when you're going through cancer, your body is an inflamed state. So it's like a fire that's burning inside that needs to be quelled, that needs to be tapped down. So foods that are anti-inflammatory are good healthy fats, wild fish, the cornucopia of fruits and vegetables, you know, plant-based foods are very anti-inflammatory. So all of those foods are really important because, again, inflammation drives a disease state. So, you know, regardless of whether you're going through cancer or the stresses of everyday life, try to keep inflammation temperate. So you want to eat the rainbow, you want to eat healthy fats. Those are the things that you want to do, whether you have cancer or you don't have cancer.
How do fermented foods work into cancer treatment? Is that something that's suggested, or, you know, because of the impaired immune system, is that a problem?
This is a tricky question. Fermented foods, wonderful. I mean, it's really good for the gut flora. And again, you know, the gut, it goes through a hard time during cancer treatment because of the treatments. So I would say this, it's like, you know, if you can eat some yogurt, if you can eat it, if you can tolerate it, great. But fermented foods tend to be sour. So somebody with impaired taste buds who's going through cancer treatment may not enjoy fermented foods during that time. On the other hand, you know, if you can get, again, if you can get things like yogurt and kefir into your diet, maybe into a smoothie with some other fruits that would make it just a little bit more tolerable to the taste buds, great. But sometimes when we're talking about people who are going through treatment, they're just not maybe going to be interested in pickled or fermented tasting things. So always conscious when people are going through treatment of, you know, where they're at, you know, just little changes can make big differences. So we can't necessarily throw everything at them at one time.
One of the things that I found really interesting in your book was this idea of revitalizing the taste buds after chemo, because some people really lose some of their sense of taste. And you have that FAST system, fatty, acid, salty, sweet. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. FAST, F-A-S-S, fat, acid, salty, sweet. So think of somebody who's been through treatment and their taste bud receptors are like a big electric board, because that's kind of what our taste buds are like. A lot of neurons going on. And where you and I might be tasting at 80%, somebody who has been or is going through treatment, so this is like in treatment and a little bit after, they're tasting at maybe, I don't know, 20 or 30%. So the idea about FAST is that fat, acid, salty, sweet, they're flavor carriers. So if you're not tasting at 100%, maybe you need a little extra good fat on those taste buds or a little extra sea salt to ignite the neurons in the taste buds to fire, or a little bit of acid to brighten up a flavor. Or maybe things are tasting a little bit bitter or metallic. So a little bit of grade B maple syrup may make the, these are the things, these flavor enhancers are the things that may make the difference between somebody eating and not eating, because that's how disconnected the taste buds can become during treatment. And I explain it in much more depth in the book.
Right. You've got a nice hefty size book, and people interested in getting more information should definitely check that out. Let's talk a little bit about, like, right before a person has chemo, I think one of the things that was an interesting recommendation is to avoid the foods that you love.
Yes. What can happen is that through the rigors of chemo, the foods that you love are going to taste different to you. And so you've had this expectation. It's like, gosh, I love roasted chicken, so that's what I'm going to eat. It's like, I love chicken soup, so that's what I'm going to eat. But when you go through transient taste changes or your belly's not feeling good and you eat those foods, they're not what you expect them to taste like, or you're not going to necessarily feel like eating them. And so what that does is it kind of creates what I call a little bit of a food aversion. So I recommend just saving all your like all-time favorites for later and exploring things that are a little bit different, things that you might not normally feel like you're going to want to engage in. And I have 125 recipes in this book that are really based on using herbs and spices that you may not normally cook this way, but these are recipes that are designed to have the most nutrient density and also big taste and flavor, so that your taste buds can be satisfied. And again, maybe different variations of foods that you may like, but not something that's going to disappoint. So save your favorite chicken soup that your mother always made you for when you're feeling better. And try a chicken soup that may be a little different, Thai flavored or Latin flavored or something different.
I have to say your recipes are beautifully photographed and look delicious. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Rebecca Katz, author of The Cancer Fighting Kitchen and her latest book, The Healthy Mind Cookbook. Thank you so much, Rebecca.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.